Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we've been singing about the Spirit falling upon your people. And we know, Lord, that that is not just a possibility, but at the end time, we know that your Spirit would come upon all men just before the great tribulation. It could be the wicked ones like Judas, the truly anointed but false to the word. And then there'd be those, Lord, that were with you according to word. And we appreciate that, Lord. By faith, we believe we're a part of that, that your Spirit, Lord, can fall upon us as we take word by word and believe and just stand with it, O God. It becomes a part of our thinking and a part of our lives, Lord. We know that with you, your thinking was a part of you. We're not quite the same, Lord. We know that though we are a part of you, we left that thinking behind, and now we have to have our thinking brought up to proper order, which we can at this hour. So help our thinking, Lord, to be your thinking this night. And then we know it's going to be well with us because we know the life in that thinking, which is your word, will bring it forth in human vessels. Guide and bless us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're, I believe, at number 15 in Shalom. And in this message, as well as in his other messages, Brother Branham, as a true prophet of God, uses the word light, God, Spirit, the Word, interchangeably, making them synonymous, yet different in overtone, according to the presentation of a particular truth. Now, you notice that Brother Branham uses words the same as the old Jewish prophets did. They're synonymous, they're interchangeable, but actually, each time there's a special overtone, a special qualification due to the truth that is to be or is being presented. Now, surely God is spirit, God is life, but he is also light. The use of these descriptive words help us to receive a revelation of God himself as to what he is and does. Now, that's the purpose, of course, of words, is to define, to make the that which is objective more subjective, so that you understand more about, we're talking of God now, the personality of God. God is a person, and his character, qualities, characteristics. Now, so therefore, the use of these descriptive words then help us to receive a revelation of God himself. As I said, those words are spirit, light, and so on. Also, remember, our Savior. For example, let us start at the beginning. In the beginning, God. Well, the question comes up, what kind of a God? He is spirit. That's exactly what God is. Then what is spirit? Well, spirit is life. Thus, God is living spirit. That's exactly what God is. Now, what are his dimensions? Well, how do we describe him? He is eternally the same and is omnipotent and omniscient. So, therefore, God is an eternal God. Never changes. The major qualifications of God being omnipotence and omniscience. These two attributes are limited only by God's own character as what he will devise with his great ability and what he will do with what he's invented according to his own knowledge. In his omnipotence, he is a creator. He can speak into existence whatever he so desires, in accordance as to what his what characteristics lie within him. And he can do with that creation according to his thinking, which is also directed according to his own God life, which even he cannot change. Now, that's something right there that that people, I think, may have a little hard job with, because they think maybe by prayer and fasting they can twist God's arm. Well, now, they don't understand the word. Like Brother Branham said, you don't pray to God to ask God to change. You pray to God to ask God to change you. Now, remember, there is such a thing as people getting answers to prayer and becoming spiritually dead. They can get all kinds of blessings. They can be anointed. And God will send leanness to their souls. And finally, like in this age, they're doubly dead. There never was a generation like this generation. They're twice dead even before they drop dead in their, on the ground. Now, so therefore, God can only do according to what his God-likeness is. You see? Thus, he is both Rhema and Logos within himself. So therefore, God is, you might say, blueprint and manifestation that he is. Because there comes omniscience and omnipotence. Omniscience knows, omnipotent does. What does omnipotence do? What omniscience knows. What is omniscient? God is omniscient. So God is both Rhema and Logos. And anybody that tries to tell you difference, he's wrong. Now, I got a phone call just the other night from Australia. And this brother said he was so grateful because I delivered to them the fact that the Hebrew prophets understood God as both Rhema and Logos. And Brother Branham did the very same thing. They're synonymous. And then he mentioned a certain man that I'm well aware of and you're well aware of who goes around confusing people. He's trying to tell something that Brother Branham didn't tell. The man is not vindicated. Oh, he's been vindicated as a liar. Yes, I'm going to say it publicly and I care less if you don't like it. The man corrected Brother Branham. How can you correct a prophet? Brother Branham said the only thing that cannot be corrected is a prophet. Then try to correct a prophet. He ought to go to Germany. Shall I spill the rest of the beans? I'm vitriolic enough to let you have both barrels tonight. Well, I won't do it. Sued you, didn't I? Thus he is both late Rhema and Logos within himself. And you'd never know Rhema unless he projected being Logos. It's just... And because he can and does make himself known according to his own desires, which are directed as to what he himself is, he not only gives light, but he himself is light, and to know God is light, and to know more and more about him is increasing light, as the Bible tells us at the end time, there will be increased light for the believer, but not for the sinner. He spoke light in the beginning as to manifestation. That is, he spoke it. It was already Rhema, or he couldn't have spoken. He was already a part of God in God's likeness, or it wouldn't have been produced. Thus, word and light are synonymous. They are synonymous. Definitely are synonymous. Rhema as word becomes Logos as light. This is carried to the extent that as children of God, we are Rhema Logos because we're with him in the beginning. And also Rhema Light Logos or Rhema Logos Light. He said, you're the light of the world. Like Father, like Son, in plain English. He is the light, and we are his little begotten lights. If you're begotten to God and he's light, then you're light, right? It's just as simple as dogs having dogs and kittens having kittens and pigs having pigs and human beings having babies, human babies. Because there aren't separate words for begetting. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all are made alive. You've got to go back to your concepts. Light has come. Brother Branham tells us that. And that's the point he was making. Light has come in this hour. God is here and has revealed himself and vindicated that it is he himself and the light is God. This light, God and his revelation, presses the darkness. The light ones gather as in Goshen, while all around the darkened ones are literally paralyzed in Egypt, according to Exodus 10, 21 to 23. Now let's take a look at it. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward the heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now I want to ask you a question. Was it the geography that made the difference, or was it the people? It was the people. So where Israel was, there was light. You are a light set upon a hill. You're the light of the world. See? So we see God comes bringing his own revelation of himself, and we know it is of God by vindication, as it is set forth in the word to be thus, and it is thus. Afterward, what is the difference when God said, let there be light, and there was light, let such and such a thing happen, and it's in this word. God sends a prophet on the scene to bring to your attention his immediate act in order to gain your attention for the act. Like Brother Branham said, God was thousands of years in bringing a Messiah that he prophesied would have to come in Genesis, the very first few years of Eden. Thousands of years to get him here. So what God is doing, he brings our attention to the place with something immediate, thereby letting us know that something which has been previously said even thousands of years before and distilled in God before the foundation of the world is about to transpire. That is God doing it. That is light. All right. We understand that. So, God comes bringing his own revelation of himself. And we know it is of God by vindication. We see it set forth in the word. This separates the children of light from the children of darkness. See? Now, unless you are confirmed in the understanding of what we call Calvinism, which is really true sovereignty of God, and understand beginnings as Brother Branham taught, you will rebel against this because it is your sweet loving nature that makes you to want to make God a liar, the very God that you say you love. Now, you know that I'm saying that sarcastically to you because you do not do that here. But there could be others out there I'm thinking of might even get these tapes. And they'll sort of prick their conscience, which I hope it does. Now, this separates the children of light from the children of darkness, as we see in chapter 8 of John, which is that fantastic chapter to show you the serpent seed, if anything ever did. And it does. The 8th of John. And we'll read 29, beginning. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, or you will learn of me indeed. Now they had to continue in the word to keep on learning. That's what happened when the Lutherans came out. They didn't keep on with the word when Methodists came on the scene. And the Methodists didn't keep on when the Pentecostals came on the scene. And the Pentecostals rose up against Brother Branham. So the light within them has turned to darkness. That's why they are the chaff. And I can't change the Bible, and I don't want to change the Bible. I'm not interested in changing it. I want it to change me. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we never were in bondage to any man. How sayest thou you should be made free? Or already free, that's what they thought. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now sin is unbelief. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. And remember, he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him that God has sent. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, let's look at this picture. If the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Now, look, there isn't anybody but God who is Savior. God alone is Savior. So what is he telling you here? He is telling you that God, in the hour of sonship, God as Son is setting people free because God was in Christ. That's the rule. God always has to be in something to do something. Like Brother Branham threw the rock up in the air to cause something to happen. And he said the suction actually brought the tornadic force that ripped the stones out of that sheer wall of rock out near Wilcox there in Arizona. And the same thing then started an earthquake. Now I hear Terry Sproul told us the delicate balance of a rock falling can start a tornado. Now, here Dave tells me that he read an article where the flapping of a butterfly's wings in the Philippines can start something in the Caribbean, like a hurricane. The delicate balance. That makes you wonder, what delicate balance is there in God, and if we could get to it? What lies ahead of us to be in that delicate balance you're entering into now? That's why there'll be a new universe that'll be created, melted down and brought over again. Just thinking, sitting here, before I got to the pulpit, just literally thinking about God creating. And I thought, God created those squirrels, didn't he? He did that. That was fantastic. And then I thought, well, I sat there behind Brother Branham, and I saw that microphone cord wrapped around him, and I didn't see it disintegrate, but I saw it come back together lying there, and I thought, there's a perfect picture. Look what lies ahead of us. God creating and God transforming the elements that are here now, literally taking them, doing something to them, and bringing them back. Why, we've seen manifestation here, brother, sister, that makes us to know God if anybody ever knows God. See, now let's keep reading. I know you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Now that's something that's true. Brother Branham categorically said the serpent had a place for soul, but he didn't have a soul. These people did not have a place for God's word, though they mouthed daily religiously the Ten Commandments and all the law and the prophets, because the whole Bible, 39 books of the Old Testament, were already there. Psalms and all of them. Some maybe could quote them verbatim, chapter after chapter. I speak that which I've seen with my father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. The answer said, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to him, if you're Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. What were the works of Abraham? Recognizing God on the plains of Mamre, and knowing the great judge was there. Learning, will he destroy the righteous with the wicked? And that's always the question when God comes on the scene. What is he going to do? Well, the blood stands in good for us, brother, sister. Like God gave Brother Branham that vision. The earth surrounded by a circle of blood. And he said, he told William Branham, I want you to know this one thing. Except for that circle of blood, you sit there condemning that woman that's backslidden in a mess. But I tell you, he said, without that circle of blood, you'd be destroyed too. We thank God for the blood, see? Now you seek to kill me, a man which told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Now what is it? He's referring right here, the same person who wrote this, John as a scribe, is referring to Cain. It's the same thing. He was of that wicked one. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we be not born of fornication, we have one father, even God. Show me Cain in the chronology, the genealogy. You can't do it. They could trace themselves to Abraham, every one of these. And as soon as they traced themselves to Abraham, they had a home run to God. Figure it out, go to your genealogy. Oh, he said, yes, I know. He said, that's true. You can trace your genealogy. But he said, you're still serpent seed. See, it's a serpent seed. They knew it. Then these Pentecostals try to tell you that Eve didn't cohabit with the serpent. They still got some idea, some great big four-footed hoof elephant of home, clomp, clomp. When do you ever see a big four-footed idiot beast or old dumb beast have a conversation with anybody? My God, some of them are crazy, all right, but they ain't that, but Eve wasn't that crazy. Lord have pity. See, we have one father. We're not born of fornication. See, they knew the truth of serpent seed. Jesus said, if God were your father, you'd love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. There was no place for them, they couldn't hear it. If you haven't got a place for the word of God, you'll never understand it. There's no way you can understand it. It's all double talk. It's all mystical, mythical. That's where the agnostics came in. They couldn't get a revelation, so they made their own up. And the agnosticism obtains right today, and it's a mess. Now, you're of your father, the devil, the lust of your father you'll do. He's a murderer in the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Show me that this scripture has ever been changed by God. This is showdown. This is showdown. It always has been and always will be. And if this is the hour of showdown, this has to obtain. If it is not the hour of showdown, there is a showdown coming, and it will obtain. But we believe it's already come. This is identical, as you well know, to 2 Thessalonians 2:8 to 14. Just before Antichrist takes over, the love of the truth is only in a little certain group of people who are sanctified by the Word. The rest of them do not have it. As we read last Sunday, and we'll read again, we see that God Himself reveals Himself and reveals about Himself. And He is as light itself. And because He is light itself, uses a child of light who is also a light, pointing to the light. He's using a prophet like John the Baptist, see? And all the little lights come to that great light via the short-lived light, as it was with Moses and John and Paul and now Brother Branham. The great light sends a lesser light. Like before the sun rises in its glory, the morning star comes forth in the darkest hour just before the sun starts to rise. And all the little stars, little lights, gather to the great light via the bright and burning light, like as a John the Baptist and Moses and Paul and now William Branham. Brother Branham's own words, as directed by God, describes those light word conditions, the church, the truth word bride. I'm going to read from Spoken Word's original seed. All right. Now, here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth of its kind Genesis 1 and 11. And because Brother Branham never read it, I don't know that anybody else bothered to read it. 1 and 11 says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seeds, spora, and the tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose spora is in itself upon the earth, and so it was." All right. What I'm trying to say to you is this. The law of reproduction. In other words, the continuations of a species brings forth after whatever kind that species is. In other words, there are two kinds of progenitors according to the Bible. There are two progenitors. One is God and one is the devil. Let's go first of all to Matthew the 13th chapter. And we will see exactly what God said. And let us believe what God said. Let us not try to get a parable out of a parable when the parable has already been explained. It's no longer a parable. Now, what I just said there, you can see what kind of idiots we have been for doing this. All right. Matthew 13 and 36, he explains the parable. The sower went forth to sow. And as he sowed, somebody snuck up behind him and sowed a bunch of tares. When it came time for this season to manifest itself, which means the ground was producing now what was poured into it, then all of a sudden, you got two things here. You got wheat and tares. They said, "Well, should we rip up all the tares?" He said, "No. You'll uproot some of the wheat. Just leave them be. At the time of the harvest, we'll gather the wheat into the granary, and we'll bind the tares into bundles, and we'll burn them. Whose fan is in his hand, thoroughly purge his fore, gather the wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff, the tares with fire unquenchable. Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field." He answered and said to them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels or the messengers. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his messengers, his angels, And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire. They'll be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the king their father, who hath ears, let him hear. In other words, there'll be no way concerning this coming kingdom that there'll be any wicked ones there for any further pollution of the world or what's in the world or of mankind. They'll be gone. That's going to take care of that. That's why you don't have to worry about an eye for an eye or tooth for tooth anymore. Just leave it in God's hands. All right, with that, we're going to go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, which, you know, we dearly love, the same as we love John 8 and these other chapters. But these are especially pertinent to us because we see the truth, which so many people don't want. It's John, 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, it tells you that. It tells you that flat. Okay. Let's jump down to verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. You say, why do you jump down there? Because that's what he's talking about. He's going back to the beginning. You can't compare Adam and the serpent, or the beast. No way. One's a beast, one's a man. So, the only two you can compare is Cain and Abel. And they have separate fathers, but one mother. Just like Mother Earth. It's got about 5 distinct colors. Red, brown, yellow, black, white. Out of one Earth. You don't get black people out of Africa's black Earth. And red people out of America, the red Indians. Or you brown ones. No. See, they've got to have a progenitor. All right. Little children, no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness, like Abel, is righteous. He that committeth sin, like Cain, is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. What's the first thing we know about the devil? Never mind what he did up in heaven. Forget it. Nothing to do with you. What did he do in Eden? The Bible said he was in Eden. He distorted the word and took the woman away from vindication to reasonings. Now, if you're going to let your mind go from vindication to reasoning, you're finished. That's the battle of Armageddon going on right there. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Not destroy the people, per se, although that stands, and it must stand. But he's going to bring to nothing what Satan did. Let me see if I can find it for you. Never mind. I'm going to pull a blank on this. It's in the book of Hebrews. I got a real blank on it. Anyway, the thing is, he brings to nothing. Oh, yeah, here it is in Hebrews 2:14. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he likewise also took a part of the same, that through death he might bring to nothing him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See? All right, let's keep reading now. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now he's giving you a clue there. And the clue is this. The word takes precedence over every single emotion and over every single outcome, because God had to have a word that said, let there be light before there was light. So the precedence is the word. And that precedence will set your tenor as to how you love somebody or not. And you can't hide. Let me tell you right now, you can't hide. We're way down the road, brother, sister. We get food anymore. There's no way to get food. There's no way at all. No way at all. This is the message you've heard from the beginning. We should love one another. That's a message of love. See? That you should love. What is he talking about? He's talking about people who absolutely have to manifest something. You can't help it. The minute you leave the womb, you manifest by crying. You want a nurse. Next thing, you fill your diapers. There's no way you can't manifest. It's simply a reaction to life. And life itself is activity. There's no motion, there's no life. It's inert, it's dead. Or it soon will be. You say, what if the thing's entirely paralyzed? The heart would have to stop. So therefore, it's not entirely paralyzed. Just a portion of it. There'll be a manifestation. All right. He says now, the message you heard in the beginning, that you should love one another. But the basic is this. What are you born of? Is there a place in you for the word? Do you understand that word? That's what makes the difference as to what you are. The other is an action. But you see, you're born with a spirit that God allows. And you can go different ways with that spirit. But that which is born of God, that seed, cannot sin because it will believe God. That's why the Jews rose up and said, don't you tell us that Cain is our father, the serpent's our father. That is not so. And he said, if you had God as your father, you'd go right to that word. And then you couldn't help but manifest there's a love there for each other. Now, I'm hitting pretty hard here, but I'm sorry. That's all I know how to teach this message. Because I'm not going to get sucked down the merry old road of fruit. Because if Brother Branham said it is not fruit, it is not gifts, then what is it? Better be something. Tell you plain English, if you are a seed of God, you have an affinity for the word. And it doesn't shock you. It doesn't scare you. It makes you very, very happy. It intoxicates you. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. See? And whose deeds were evil. What was the evil deed? Presuming to worship God apart from a genuine revelation. And going on his own word, which we will talk about here, that produces a hybrid. He wherefore slew him because his own works he was brother righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know we have passed from death unto life because we love those who love and have the word. Oh, I'm so happy I've got lots of enemies, especially in the ministry. If I was loved by all these guys out there, yeah, like I said, if everybody that talks about presence believes presence correctly, I'm going to have to quit preaching it. But the longer I live, the more I see they hardly have a clue to what we are talking about. Not trying to be anybody, just telling you the truth as I see it. All right, Brother Branham said, now what I'm trying to say to you is the law of reproduction brings forth of its kind. He's talking about two sources. He's talking about offspring. There is God who's got offspring. So therefore, those children will be generically and genetically of God. What about the devil? They will be genetically and generically, as far as the devil can go, is by the devil. Because remember, devil doesn't have one thing except perverted word. He never made up one word. He never had 1 ounce of power except what God gave it. He is nothing but the things of God perverted. Remember, there's nothing impure of itself. And all things are pure to the pure in heart. So therefore, if you ever got the word of God in our hearts and fully released, everything would take on purity. That's right. That's why I say we must have the word of God and the life within it released more and more and more to get us where we're going. All right. I'm trying to tell you, Brother Branham said, I'm trying to bring you to a place of understanding the species within the human race, within the world. And he said, what I'm trying to say is this from a Genesis, there is a seed that accounts for every single thing that's manifested as a production. Without seed, you can't produce. These last days, true church bride comes to the headstone. Matthew 25, come out and meet him. Will be the super church. A super race. A God race. See? As they near the great headstone. Now that's not the headstone or the capstone spiritual. This is the headstone physical. See? And also, the closer you come to God by the Word and the life of the Spirit, the more you get in divine church order. They will be so much like Him, even they will be in His very image in order to be united with Him. Certainly. Certainly. What kind of a bride do you think God's going to have for the Son? They will be one. Now, what's he talking about? The Bible distinctly says he's not ashamed to call them brethren because they are of one source. To begin with, then they are of one source. Then from that point on, the church coming up as bride comes more and more into the image. What is an image? An image is actually a pattern taken from an original. So therefore, man will come more and more into what God originally had in mind for him. And you know the last step is immortality. Hey, once you're immortal, you're there. You're coming more and more through seven solid church ages of light. See? Now, they will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Now, that's what he says. Now, listen. In the last days, there's going to be a super bride church. She's going to be approaching the great headstone, spiritually and physically. And as she approaches in the spiritual, she's becoming more spiritually like him, and she's becoming more physically like him, because one of these days she's going to have to be immortal the same as he is. She'll be in his very image in order to make the wedding supper. She's in the Word right now in order to be in the invisible union. At this particular time. And this church will be in his very image to be united with him all the way through. They will be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Now that doesn't mean she's going to be doing something to prove something. That's already been proven. What it is, she's the fulfillment of God's own omniscience. His own plan, his blueprint. So she'll be the very manifestation of the Word of the living God. Spirit, living God. Omniscient, omnipotent, had a plan. And the plan is what? A group or a race of God children. It'll be around him for eternity. Now listen. Denominations can never produce this. Now listen. They will produce their creeds and dogmas mixed with the Word and bring a hybrid product. So what's he telling you here? He's telling you only the bride has the true, unadulterated Word, and she alone is the unadulterated child of Almighty God. The rest are bastards. Now, let me find you something about illegitimate children. Over here in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, beginning at verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction, sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And have you forgotten the exhortation? Speak unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuke him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son that he receives. In other words, he doesn't let you get by with being slant or nonchalant or disobedient. He hauls you up short. He says, you can't do that. You get under conviction. Now, if you endure chastening, God deals you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father doesn't chasten? That means to train and put him through rigorous course where he brings himself under obedience to God. But if you be without chastening, whereof all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Tells you right there. Now, how does anybody get corrected? By being told what is right when they're already wrong. So therefore, correction is a word. And if you turn down to the word, which is the only correction God has, through his vindicated prophets, then you're absolutely illegitimate. Bastard children. Creeds and dogmas. You got to get rid of it. Produce a hybrid product. The first son, Adam that was spoken seed word of God. Now they're speaking of the flesh. He was given a bride. A bride to reap to produce himself. She fell. Produced himself, but she fell. See, that's what the bride is given for, to produce himself, again, another son of God. But she fell by hybridizing, see. All right, let's look at that picture. Eve was in Adam, so therefore she was a part of Adam. She was a product of Adam. She was a part of himself. So therefore, if a part of himself and himself come together in a union, then Adam actually produces himself. Right? Certainly. Another Adam. What did she do? She messed up. She produced a hybrid child. Part animal. Because the seed was so close it could mingle. So therefore, as Brother Branham said, she fell and caused him to die. Why? Because then he took her. He did a wrong thing. A second son, a spoken seed word of God, and he's talking about Jesus, was given a bride like Adam. But before he could marry her, and he hasn't done it yet, see, she has fallen also. For she was put to a free moral agency like Adam's wife. Was to believe God's word and live, or doubt it and die. And so what? She didn't believe it. She died. Now we find that over here in 2 Corinthians 11 chapter, read it many, many times, you know just where I'm going. And he says here, I'm jealous, or is it God is jealous? If I espouse you to one husband, I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest any man, by any means, a certain beguile Eve, to his subtlety, so your mind be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So she fell. Then, from a little group of the true seed of the word, the little group of the true seed, coming right on down through all this great big mess, God will present Christ, a beloved bride, a virgin, a virgin of his word. Because remember, Christ is the virgin mind of Almighty God. Right there we see him. And through them and by them will be fulfilled all that's been promised for his word in the virgin. What's the word in the virgin? The image of God, the likeness, and immortality. See? The word in the virgin. Who knows no man-made creeds or dogmas. And that's where your battle of Armageddon is. The big thing that's rough. The word of promise in himself, like it was in Mary, God himself made manifest. Now he's telling you something here, how this actually works. Paul said, we have this ministry. Now Brother Branham here is reiterating what Paul said. There's a ministry that brings about the image of Christ when you find yourself in that word and you find yourself being transfigured. Now watch, the word of promise in himself like it was in Mary. He's using Mary as an example. God himself made manifest. Now how did God make himself manifest through Mary? He brought a virgin-born body to birth and inhabited that body. Jesus was not schizophrenic, but he actually was two people. You can say what you want. Because Brother Branham said that God left him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When previously he said God was in him. The word now, God made himself manifest. He will act himself by his own word of promise, so to fulfill all that has been written of him, as he did when he came from the virgin womb, type of the Spirit now, so will the virgin now, accepting his word, be it unto me as thou hast said, though it was said by an angel or a messenger, while it yet was written word. Now, let's look at that in Isaiah, because Brother Branham quotes it, Isaiah 9 and 6. And I think I know what he has in mind here, and I think I know why he didn't quote this. Let people get it themselves. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Unto us, Israel. Unto us, Israel. And Israel government shall be upon his shoulder. And so on. Now, who did it? One single woman did it, and all the nation got it. And you're looking right here, Brother Branham. As one single prophet to whom the word of the Lord came, vindicated and revealed, now does it all so that we as a bride can have it. Just the same as Mary had to bring the Christ so the bride could have him. And Mary said, be it unto me as thou hast said. Though even though it was said by an angel, God himself did not come down and say it. He sent an angel. Now listen, he's telling you something. He's letting you know this. It was something written in the Word where God sent an angel. But you'll notice that this time, God himself came down for his own word already written. This is that word of prophecy made more sure that Peter speaks up. Because here, Brother Branham, in talking of Mary, is talking about the inception, the beginning. We're now looking at the end. Now, it says they will love him and will have his potentials, for he is their head. Now, how many people have headship of Christ as Brother Branham is talking? Nobody. It's a composite. The only one is the man standing there. There is man and headship. There again is a picture of headship that's coming down. See? The prophet was the eye. And the last moving part of the body is the eye. Above it is the mind, which deals with the spirit. See? Now, they have his potentials, for he is their head, and they are his subjects, subject to his head. Headship was Christ. That's your 1 Corinthians chapter 15, based on 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16. The Lord himself descend with a klusma, with an order to the church, bringing the church in divine subjection. What will he bring us subject to? Himself. But what is he? He is the Word. What is he? He is the light. What is he? He is the light. What is he? He is the salvation. God putting everything under the feet of Jesus. Why? Because you're looking at now the soon union of not spiritual headship, but physical headship. So the bride now in the spiritual image is getting ready for the physical image. And notice in there they will love him. Certainly. Why? Because they'll have his potential. And Brother Branham demonstrated. Because he is their head. In other words, whatsoever the mind of God could conceive, the power of God could bring forth. So now, whatever was in the mind of Jesus the Christ has been demonstrated there, and demonstrated there by mighty vindication to show that he will now bring into manifestation the full potential that was vested in him. And the full potential is New Jerusalem, with the Lamb on the throne, and the millions of bride, or hundreds of thousands bride, and the millions outside, and the pillar of fire above the stone, above the throne. The full potential. That's why time and eternity have blended, and there aren't any mysteries left. So what are you banging your head against the wall for this mystery, this thing, that thing? Listen, you're kooking up, my brother and my sister. They're worried about the thunders having thundered and the seventh seal not opened, this and that. When Brother Branham categorically said, you've got everything you need to put you in a rapture, and you can't rapture until you see him. We've already seen him. And you get changed. Notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until seen of the Father, or the Father showed him first. So will the bride. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her. And she receives it, never does. Now he tells you right there, what is he talking about? John 14 and 12. John 14 and maybe it's 10. And we soon get it. So we jolly well know. 10. Believest thou not I am the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And he said, down the road, it's going to happen again, but greater. He said, based upon the works, the bride will know this is the word, and she receives the word. Now, he's manifested and demonstrated the potentials. Once that's done, there's a word. Now the word comes forward. Now there's nothing left except for God to completely energize the word in the bride. She now listen. This is what he said, so will the bride. And he shows her his word of light. See, there's a harmony between Christ and God and the bride. An absolute harmony. See? Now, so will the bride. He shows her the word of life. She receives it, never doubts it. What do you think of that? Are we qualified to be that kind of bride? Nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Amen. I got a big hallelujah. Here is the secret. The word is in the bride and the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. And she does it in his name. She has thus said the Lord. The bride does not have thus said the Lord. The prophet has thus said the Lord. And therefore the bride has thus said the Lord in that relationship. And when you see that, that's all you need. Who needs a bunch of thus saith the Lord? You already had it. Who needs vindication? You already had it. You just use what's vindicated, which is the word. Then it's germatized. So the Holy Spirit waters it until it's grown and serves his purpose. They only do his will. Amen. I'll believe that. No one can persuade them different. What's he talking about? Eve was persuaded different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. See? Then they will do the works of God, for it is himself in them, continuing his word to fulfill as he did complete in his days. In other words, he didn't complete it. All things, he didn't complete everything the first time round. He's going to do it now. And Brother Branham said, if the hand does it, the body does it. Most people want to take this and run with it. Brother Branham warns against it. They want to run and be some great person. Listen, you know that's just as stupid as trying to prove the Pythagorean theorem. So what you do, you take your right angle triangle, and you say, now this is 8 inches, and this is 6. So then what you do, you take a square out here, and you make 36 here and 64 there. Then you make the squares on this here, and you add them, and you find, hey, look what I found out. The sum of the two squares, the square of bits, that's a hypotenuse. Ain't that wonderful? Oh, shut up, idiot. That was found 1,000, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 for all I know. Just use it. Don't tell me, brother, sister, to build an electric light switch. Just give me the switch and I'll punch it. I wouldn't know the first thing about making an electric switch to do anything, and you're not any brighter. So what would you want? Some kind of special little vindication, some little thing for you. So what do you want for? You want to be somebody? Proves right now you're nobody. Proves right now you're in the wrong class. I don't need any vindication. All I need is to rise and shine, which in other words, to bear witness of the light. How many minutes we got left? How many? See, that's what takes so long. I get these little byways in here because I want to make sure we know what's going on here in these messages. Let me read it to you now. Page 21, starting at 108:17. And the great light that hung in the wilderness. That when Moses first took Egypt, esteeming of reproaches of Christ, greater treasure of Egypt. The same one that met Saul. And Saul recognized who it was. 120. The same light has come. To what? The same light, Brother Branham said, has come to the bride, which means has come to William Branham. There it is right there. To what? To manifest to make known to the people the promises that he's made for this day, manifested light of the day, the darkness is darkened. Just as soon as God came on the scene through a prophet and began doing the wonderful works, instantly they had a wrong idea of what it was all about. It became dark right away. Oh, you can do that and do it better. Where's Oral Roberts today? Tommy Hicks is dead. Where's Clifton Erickson? Where is Tommy Osborne? Where's W.B. Grandson? Where are they all? We have too many swaggerts and too many bakers. We got bakers by baker's dozen. And swaggerts right in there with them. But you know, they came out of the oven half baked. Like Ephraim, a loaf half done, half baked. Half baked. They wouldn't stay and listen. Oh, they had it. We got it. Look at us, why Brother Brand peanuts alongside of me. Is that a fact? Tell me when Jesus had anything. A couple of nice women made him a nice garment. A few nice ladies helped him get a living. Gave him a little chip, a little bread, a little bit here and there. The foxes had holes. The birds there had nests. The very one, infinite one, came right down and had nothing. And he died, and they stripped him of his clothes and hung there naked. So the Pope of Rome is a big shot if you want to hear. Jimmy Swagger and these guys ain't even peanuts. The place he lives in or worships in and makes himself God, understand, is 2 billion billions. Don't talk about material things, brother, sister. He shows you're gross. Manifest the light of day. Manifest who is the light. Little lights. Manifest who's the dark ones. When he came, he was the light of the day. There was supposed to come a Messiah. And he came just exactly like God said he would come. And when he did, what was he? The light of the day. And the darkness, and it pressed the darkness so against him. Is that right? He had to give his life that the light continue could shine. He was the light of the day. But why? Why was he the light of the day? He was the vindicated word that had been spoken, made manifest. Well, anybody knows that, see? Riemann Logos, same thing. God said over this dark, gloomy, dismal, mossy world, and stood there here without light. He said, let there be light. And it wasn't light until that word was manifested. Then it was light. Rhema became Logos. They're one and the same. You mean to tell me without Rhema there would be any Logos? No, don't anybody tell you. The thing conceived must have a part of the conceiver in it. You just can't do otherwise. The more you see this message, the more you'll associate yourself with God and the universe with him. We have tried to make it abstract. A distant God. Paul the Apostle said it true. In him we live and move and have our being. We are the offspring of God. He said there'll come a Savior. A Messiah. It wasn't manifested until he came to manifest that promise. In other words, until that came into evidence, manifested physically, it was just a word of promise. But now it's vindicated. And when he vindicated that promise, he said, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify me. And Brother Branham has to say the same thing. That, and everything he says has got to be in the scripture. Now people won't believe that, but that's their business, not mine. They said, we know not whence thou comest. We're Moses' disciples. He said, if you're Moses' disciples, you would know me. That's true. For Moses wrote to me. A true Lutheran would understand William Branham. A true Wesleyan. And a true Pentecostal. And today, this day that we're living in now, God has come on the scene to vindicate and prove his promises. So it's the light of the hour. So we can rise and shine. In other words, the light William Branham, pointing to the great light, sets us in a harmony so that we now know that we're part of the light. See? And we can testify to it. Testify to vindication. Because the morning star rising is Christ amongst us vindicated. What you see right there, thus saith the Lord. Oh, the world doesn't want that. The light shines upon us again today. What's he talking about? Matthew. The light that rose in the east has now come to the west. The Word is being made manifest. So in other words, if God said, let there be light, and there was light, then he said, let there be a prophet Malachi of Elijah come, and there he is, that is light. See? It's the light. And he's rising with healing in his wings, immortality. Just like the light, that light shining out there, the sunshine, this morning. That's God's spoken word. There's nothing else can give light like that. God said, let there be light. Created the sun to rule the day. The moon to rule the night and the stars. Very good. God spoke it. That's what happened. See? Now he's likening you to it. That's God's spoken word. There's nothing else can give light like that. And there's nothing else that can give light like a vindicated word. See? Nothing. There's nothing can do it. Any artificial light burns out in a little bit. That's your creeds and dogmas. The bulbs and everything else. But that light never fails. For it's the spoken word of God made manifest. In other words, when you know that you've got thus saith the Lord and you've got a real vindication, you don't have one worry from that time on. You've seen the light, you've seen the glory of God, you've seen God. Your questions are settled. Say, well, the point is there's a lot of things I don't understand. What's that got to do with it? Nobody told you to testify to that. Told you to rise and testify to the fact that God has come on the scene and vindicated himself. Once more, his brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And you can tell that over the country they haven't got an idea. They absolutely don't have an idea what's going on. See? Now, little denominational creeds will burst a bulb, blow a bulb, knock a fuse, everything else. But the word of God shall never fail. It'll be itself always the word. In other words, it stands right there vindicated, and don't you think for one minute it's going to change either itself or its meaning or its course. Uh-uh. Though a butterfly bring it, that word of God is a bulldozer. Eats everything up in front of it. It's so powerful, atomic, it'll dissolve the very earth. Now, 130, rise and shine. For the light has come, the word light is vindicated. Okay? We read that already in Ephesians 5. Let's go back. Beginning at verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Why is God going to bring on the great tribulation? Because a bunch of churches loused up. A bunch of church members. And read it for yourself. Vain words. False hope. Traditions, ideas apart from truth. Be not partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. In other words, walk out. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now this is the thing that Brother Branham finally had to resolve, that it wasn't the fruit as in Galatians. This is another fruit. Okay, let's look at it. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Let's go on back. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against there is no law. But the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And Cain was unrighteous. So you've got a revealed word laid down that you don't dare worship apart from. And these Pentecostal churches pass around a loaf of bread and break a piece off. They can't even do the Lord's Supper right. Proving what is that acceptable? What is acceptable unto the Lord? and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. It's not a matter of saying, hey, fellow, let me tell you, you shouldn't smoke cigars, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you ought to do something, this. It's say, brother, do you know the truth of the revealed Word of God? And that's where this church has got to stand. I don't care what other fruit we manifest or don't manifest. Because you can manifest everything else and lose this, you haven't got it. Don't you try to hybridize it. I've warned you time after time. Told some of you personally, don't fool with certain things. You go ahead. My hands are off. You say, well, Levi's my pastor. Oh, you just think I am. You just think I am. You're kidding yourself. What's the unfruitful works of darkness? What does it mean unfruitful? They got fruit. But it's unfruitful to God. It's cursed. God said to Cain, he said, the fruit of your hands is cursed. The earth is cursed. And the more people get into churchy Andy's, Brother Branham taught us, more curse upon this earth. More Alaskan oil spills. More radiation pollution. You'll be eating food that's radiated. I'm absolutely, almost absolutely certain that what I'm getting right now is papayas out of Hawaii that are radiated. That's where they're no good. They look yellow, but they're tough as a brick. The government's just looking out. You know, the government will grab you. They're even going to try to take ginger away from you, from the health foods. Because people say ginger makes your stomach warm. Only the doctors are supposed to prescribe. And ginger's not a drug. But you watch. They're trying to do everything they can to bring on more and more and more pollution. To more and more destroy. Let's understand this. This is a time to rejoice. Because we're getting out of here. The righteous shall not die with the wicked. God's curse is upon the church. And the church is causing this. Okay? But this is the reason that Russia is playing footsie right now. But they got a bomb for the church, don't worry. Now, unfruitful works. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. You just don't know how far they're going to go. Until it becomes a lustful, rotten thing. A naked woman dancing in a Lutheran church unto God. Yeah. All around. When did the Lutherans run blaster plumb in eternity? Look at the Pentecostals. We could tell you plenty about them too. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You want to know what God says about this and what the truth is? God will vindicate it. Whatever does make manifest is light. It's been manifested right there. Wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest and arise from amongst the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He said, stir your stumps, there's a way to get away from the wrath of God just before the blast of the great tribulation comes. Among them be ye separate, saith the Lord God. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not wise but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine. He said, be filled with the Spirit. Sing yourselves. Listen, how does he do it? Sing yourselves in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, the Bible made melody is the conduit of the Holy Ghost. In other words, get a good attitude toward the Word of God and enjoy it and love it. More and more of the Holy Ghost flows into your being, causing you to walk right and straight. Giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. I was back here. I read it. Okay. He says in 131, the only way is God was. In other words, God can't change. So what he ever did, he'll do again. Jesus Christ was a manifestation of God's spoken word. He said, let there be light, light came. Let there be a Savior, he came. 132, John the Baptist was the light of the hour. He was the light before Jesus was light. That's a little light, see? The prophets in Isaiah said, a voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path. That was the spoken word of God. It was lying there. Hadn't come to life yet. Malachi, the last prophet, 400 years before it had taken place, said, behold, I send the messenger before me to prepare the way of the Lord. Here came one out of the wilderness without denomination, without creed, without identification. But his light identified him. He said the word identified. Let's go back to John now, chapter 5. And it says, you said unto John, he bear witness unto the truth. There you are. That's the light. That's what we do. Who is the truth? Jesus. But I received not testimony from man, but the things I say, that you might be saved. But these things I say, you might be saved. Notice. He was a burning and a shining light. You were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But they didn't like when he said, there's the Lamb of God, David, that's in the world. But he said, I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father had given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father sent me. Now listen, God gave him certain works to finish. But that didn't mean everything was finished. Just at that hour. The Father himself has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him you believe not. Now, Brother Branham was sent from God to us. To turn him down shows exactly what that person is. There is no place for word in him. There is no word in him. Creeds and dogmas, yes, but no word of God. For you have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, you believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify me. The thing is, how much time did people put on Brother Branham and his ministry and go to the Word? The minute he said something, they denied it. They blasphemed the Word. They blasphemed God. It was finished. They said, are you the Messiah? He said, I'm not. That's John the Baptist. But I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare for the Messiah. Jesus said you did walk in his light. He was a bright and a burning light, shining light for a while. Why? Until the way was prepared, then his light went out. All he could do is prepare a way. That's all William Branham could do, is prepare a way for the Word. Then by the grace of God, bring the Word. And he said, from that point on, I must decrease and he must increase. And that's exactly what happened. See? Now, his light went out. Why? Because grace, the law was given until John. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And remember, you cannot have grace without truth, because grace without truth is disgrace, is presumption. You can't walk in that light, you Baptists, because they say they come from John the Baptist, Dr. Carroll did. You talk about a stupid book. He said, we're not even Protestants. We go back to John the Baptist. He's not even a fruitcake. You'd have to trace his ancestry back to John, and John was celibate. He never got married. That's the Pope. He'd have to trace himself back to Peter. Well, Peter was married. Find out who his kids were. That'd be a joke on you. And not a regular having any kids. He had a wife, but no children. You can't walk in that light. This is the light of the hour. The light has come. Rise and shine. The Word, light, Word, the manifested Word of God, identified as light. In other words, that which manifests is light. All right? The thing is, if that which manifests is light, it is the light, what are you going to shine that light on that you're supposed to be looking for? The Word. Search the Scripture. The prophet brought it. Now, what about the new year we're facing? We could have more to say on this in between, from the darkness to light. Introducing light, coming between. But now we want to get right straight to the new year. And that's a good place to stop right there, because now he goes from light to the new year. That'd be number 16, Sunday morning. You can see that none of these messages vary from any of the other messages. No. It's just one great big special word. He's here to get a bride. It's been proven. This is how it's done. There's nothing else. Let's rise and be dismissed at this time. Most gracious, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your love and mercy and grace that you bestowed at this hour. We're very, very privileged people to know that we stood in the presence of Almighty God and His prophet, and seen that which was manifested before us, proving, Lord, there is something here in this hour for this people. And Lord, we don't claim for one minute to have gotten even anywhere near it, Lord. But we're standing here knowing that there is something here, and it's shining on us, and we're reflecting back in a measure to know and believe in our hearts that we're some part of it. Whether we're the complete part of it, as we want to be, or just friends of the bride and the bridegroom, and that's something that you alone know, Lord, because we know the foundation of God standeth sure in the sea, the Lord knoweth them which are His. But we also know this, that the sheep know the voice, and that gives us great consolation and encouragement at this time to believe we're following the voice that has been heard, the voice that came from heaven down here upon earth, speaking one last time, the consuming fire Himself is here. And He's going to positively, has made the difference. And Father God in heaven, we believe our lot lies in pleasant places because we believe we stand with Abraham of old, recognizing the day, the hour, and that which is pertinent to it. We stand here recognizing, knowing soon, that Sodom must burn, certainly it will, and here in righteousness by Your grace, Lord, and only grace, and that because of kinship, not fellowship, but kinship. And thank God there is fellowship. Through Thee, O Lord, we make it on that great day, sons of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Hasten that great day, Lord, no matter what comes upon earth. May we be glad to see all these things take place because we know absolutely they must take place. And as they come to pass, we know that as darkness deepens, the light is all the more intense. Even, Lord God, as we see today, they have not pinpointed darkness. They talk about the black holes out there. Massive things for all we know. Tremendous weight so that no man can figure it. But, Lord, it's not like the laser. The laser, Lord, light agitated in the gem, the great ruby. That light pouring through the stone, the precious headstone, Christ. Burn a hole through anything, Lord. That light has come concentrated in a brine. Thank You for Your light, Lord, searing and burning out all the things of the world, sanctifying us wholly unto Yourself, O God. And if we're not, again, we say with the prophet, we're not bride. There's a bride out there somewhere getting every single thing that we're talking about, Lord, as we believe revealed by the prophet. But by then, we won't want to stand in the way, Lord, if we're not it. But, Father, somehow we still hope and believe because we know this much. We haven't known this in vain, Lord, but it's to take us all the way through. Grant Your great peace and Your exaltation of Christ in our midst as never before. May we shout with an inward shout, Lord, and if pleases You, may we have an outward shout too, Lord. Let the rafters ring, O God. Doesn't matter to us. Let the building even be shattered, as it were, with the praises, tumultuous praises from within our hearts and from our mouths, if it gives You glory, Lord. But let it not be a shout except to be to give Thee glory. Help us in all these ways, Lord. Direct our paths, Father God. But direct above all else our minds, that we may have the fruitful works of righteousness. This is what we pray. This is what we desire. We thank You for it. Heal the sick amongst us. Thank You for healing those, Lord, on Sunday prayed for. We know some have been healed already, and we know more will be healed, Father God. We thank You for it. And we just pray, Lord, that there will be a concentration now of Your saints and light as never before. Help us all to this end. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus with you.